quickly to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 31, 32, and then we're going to look at verse 36, and let me talk to you a minute. Amen? Y'all in John chapter 8? John chapter 8. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, say, I'm a believer. That means he's talking to us here, righteous. He says, if you abide in my word. Abide is a word that we don't use that much in our, I don't think I've ever used it in our modern English vernacular. We don't use that word. But what it means is to live in, to cohabit, to dwell in, to live by. It's abide. I'm abiding in my body. You're abiding in your body. That is the connection that Jesus is talking about here. He says, if you abide. The old King James says, if you continue. And it means what he's implying is that you continue to live in this. You live by it. It's not just something that sits in the back of your car until a Sunday. It's something that you live by. You live by its precepts. You live by it. Just like you need food, you need this word to live. Come on. Just like you need this body to live in earth, you need this word to live. That's the relationship. Are y'all with me? If you abide in my word, look at what he says. You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... Watch this. And you shall know the truth. That word know right there. Do y'all remember what that word is? Gnosko. That means it's this intimate relationship. That same word is used throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament in Hebrew. And it's like in the Old Testament, it's used like this. And Adam knew his wife Eve and bare Seth. It's knowing. It's this knowing, this intimate knowing. So it's not this casual, I know that already. I know that. I've heard that already. I know that. I was talking to a person, and they'd come for prayer, and they're new around here, and not even a member, but they said they needed prayer, and somebody said they needed prayer, and they had a whole bunch of problems, a whole bunch of major issues, major death issues. You get what I'm saying? All kinds of major problems. And I asked them. I said, as they're telling me the problems, and I said, well, are you a believer? Right out of the mouth, I said, I keep the Ten Commandments. I know the Ten Commandments. I was like, whoa, I heard that chapter before. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship? Well, I think I've been baptized. You get what I'm saying? And it was frustrating for me because I'm trying to, and eventually I just said, well, let's just pray. Let's pray. I'll get you saved. You get it? But I don't even know that they really got saved. They just repeated a prayer after me, and I prayed for them. But they thought they had everything that there was and was not really interested in, I said, well, because I began to tell them what they needed to do to receive the healing that God has already provided for them. And it was like no interest at all. You get what I'm saying? Like, I already know all that. You get what I'm saying? And it was, but if you're going to walk in what God has for you, you're going to have to be hungry for the truth. Are y'all listening to me? And this is why many believers' lives, I see believers that have gone to church for years and never see real impactful change in their lives. The Bible says that the devil has blinded the minds of those that don't believe so that they perish. The reason the devil has to blind, he said, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine into their hearts, right? And set them free. The devil has to blind us to this truth because it is so potent. If you get a hold of this truth and really get intimate with it, it will make you free. It won't give you an option of freedom. It'll make you free. Hear me what I'm telling you. It will change every aspect of your life. And if your life isn't changing, it's not because the truth isn't effective. It's because you don't know it. Now, that's a hard saying, but this is what discipleship is for, so that we understand that this word works. It is infallible. It's God's word. It's the seed. It's what, when it gets in your heart, it will produce fruit. If fruit isn't being produced in your life, it's not because of the word. It's because it's not taking root or something's happened. And typically where most of the problem lies in how we hear. Jesus said that. We're not really hearing. You get what I'm saying? We can sit here, but oftentimes we're not really hearing. Have you ever sat in class, like in college, you remember in school, sat in, or even on TV? Have you ever driven home and got there and then got like, I don't remember anything I passed. I don't remember, you know, have you ever snapped out of it? Just like, uh-oh, you know, and just been in a daze the whole time, but because you're so accustomed to doing it. We've got to know the truth. And it will make us free. And when it makes you free, look at verse 36. Go to the next one. He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What he's saying here, he's saying, this freedom, you're going to be truly free indeed. You won't be able to keep this a secret. You won't be able to hold this back. This freedom, your life will stand out so much in terms of how it's changed you that it makes you free indeed. You're like, man, I was dying with this. I was bound by this. I was addicted to this. And this word set me free. It blows me away how free I am in life and how tore up my life was from the floor up. But it's going to take us, listen to me, saying to God, it's going to take us being honest with ourselves. You get what I'm saying? If we read that whole text, those verses in between 32 and 36, you would have found out that those people, and we read it last week, but those people that he was talking to, those Jews, thought they were already free. They didn't know they were in bondage. They had got, you remember what they said? He said, we be the children of Abraham. We were never in bondage. And Jesus revealed to him, he said, no, if you're bound up in sin, you're in bondage. And you get what I'm saying? But oftentimes we don't recognize that. We make excuses for those types of things, for our lacks in life. You get what I'm saying? Our deficiencies in life. And we ought not do it. The word of God is potent. It is able to change every aspect of your life. Every, strongly, the word of God. And that's what we've got to understand that. And that's where we got to lay a foundation that you understand that this word is infallible, that it is God's strength. His power is in his word. It's upholding everything. His word is holding the universe in place. You mean to tell me it can't turn your situation around? It can. It will, but we've got to get connected to it. Come on, somebody. Slap the person next to you and say, I'm going to get this. I'm going to absolutely get this. Are y'all with me? All right. Last week we started laying this foundation. Let's just review a couple of things because we've got to build on this. Today I want to talk to you about God's word being the final authority. It's got to be the final authority in your life. It's got to be, it can't be, well, you know, I know the Bible says that, but get your big butt out the way. That's going to be, if there's a butt in the way of your healing, you're not going to get it. If there's a butt, well, but my GED scores, but my marriage, but my sin, but my addiction, but my past, get the butts out of the way. Jesus picked a bunch of guys that were regular people that had regular problems just like you and me and flipped the world upside down. Are y'all with me? And we're going to hear some accounts of them. And are y'all with me tonight or am I just talking to me and these people up here on the front row? All right. God's word is the absolute truth, and this is what we established last week, and this is where it starts. We've got to know that it is absolute truth, both written and living. Look at John 17:17. Y'all know this? Jesus said, sanctify. That means set them apart. Set them apart. Divide them. Set them apart from the rest by your truth. Your word is truth. This word will set your life apart from the norm. This word will set you apart from all those that are in fear of disease, of virus, that are confused about sexuality, that are confused about the truth will set you apart from them. And that's what we have to be. Come on, somebody. Your life should not be so. God, in fact, he came and said it. He says, I've come to separate. I didn't come to just bring peace. I came to separate the sheep from the goats, the light from the darkness. You get it? He came to separate, and that's what his word does, and his word will separate your life. If your life blends in, and the devil wants us to blend in. He wants to blend the sexes into one. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, let me get off of that. Y'all get a little nervous when I start talking about that stuff. Come on, somebody. Look over John chapter 14 and verse 6. So the truth, we can see, is written. That's what the written word of God is. His word is truth. Now, let me say this before we read that passage, that this book in and of itself is powerless, and the words on it are powerless unless it gets off the pages of this book into your heart and understanding and mixed with faith and spoken out of your mouth. Just knowing it doesn't do it. It's living by it. Are you with me? And all of these words, all of this book is written to connect you to its maker, your maker, Jesus. People, you know, like I was telling you, that person said to me, I know the Ten Commandments. So what? It doesn't matter what you know. It's what you live by, and what it will change your life when you really know it. It's not a head knowledge. It's different than that. Oh, I know that. I heard that, Pastor. I can look at your life and see if you know it. It will set you free. Come on, somebody. It'll change your actions. Are y'all with me? This isn't shade. This is just telling you the real. We've got to get to the point where we say, you know, don't settle with sickness. Don't settle with that. But it starts now. Don't wait until sickness shows up and then try to get on that, get up to speed on it. This is something you live by all the time. This is something why we have to train our children this way. We have to train them this way. We have to teach them what God's truth is. We have to teach them early so it becomes their lifestyle. That's what happened with the children of Israel. The parents didn't make it into the promised land, but the kids did. Are you with me? They grew up seeing the miracles of God, but the parents couldn't change their ways. They couldn't change their thinking. But we are. Are y'all with me? All right, Jesus said this. So we said the truth is both living and written. Here's the living word, living truth. Jesus said to him, John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. So the truth is written, and the truth is living in Jesus. Y'all see that? Look over at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic. Look at this. Paul says, assuming that you really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. All truth is in Jesus. The scriptures are to take you to a personal relationship with him. It is not even a matter of just memorizing these verses. It is the Bible is written so that we know the person behind its promises. The scriptures are to connect you to him. The truth is in him. Are you with me? This written book, and even the words on the page, it's the spirit of him. His words are spirit and they are life. He said that. My words are spirit and they are life. But it is to take us to trust in him. It's to push us to a relationship with him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn on over in your Bible. In fact, the word and God, word and Jesus are inseparable. They're one and the same. They're synonymous. Look at John chapter 1. Amen. We're gonna really lay a good foundation today. Watch this. John chapter 1. Everybody know John chapter 1? John chapter 1 is written different than the other three gospels. It's written about Jesus from an eternal perspective versus man. All right? It depicts him as God. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word with a capital W here, because Jesus is the Word. We know that, right? Go to the next one for me, please. He, or the Word, was in the beginning with God. We're going to see that in Genesis in a minute. All things were made through the Word, or through him. Wherever you see him or wherever you see the Word, you can exchange those two, right? They're interchangeable. All things were made by the Word, and all things were made him. He is the Word. Watch this next one. And without the Word, or without him, nothing was made that was made. Hear me, saint. Nothing will be made like God intended it to be made in your life without you getting his word in your mouth. It has to be with his word. That's how you and I got saved. We took his word, put it in our heart, believed that, and spoke it out of our mouth. It's not a matter of just saying something. It is a matter of connecting it to the one who said it first. It's him. It's a connection with him. It's the word is to connect us to the God, the creator that wrote that word. And his spirit is now in us, right? We're one with Christ now. So all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life. In the word is life, and the life was the light of men. I shared in the first service that today I was struggling because I wanted to talk so much about this, that phrase right there. In him was life. That's Zoe, is that word right there. It's the God, it's the life of God. It's the life that makes God God. The Zoe kind of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch it, go to the next one. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light, okay, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And it's, the Bible says that this, that Jesus, the word, is this light, and it shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look at that verse in the Amplified Bible, because it explains something. It explains the truth about the word and its impact on your life. Look at it in the Amplified. Here it is. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or observed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. What he's saying right here is Jesus is light, and when he comes in, it drives out darkness. And I did an example. I was in the classroom in the first service. We can't do it in here, I don't think. But they turned off all the lights in that room, and it was dark. And when they turned on the light, the darkness left. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of light. The Bible calls us children of light. We are the light of the world. Why? Because him, his light, has shined in our hearts and caused darkness that was in us, that darkness, to go. It has to go. Now, likewise, that's how sickness, that's how every work of darkness goes out of you, by getting that light. Do y'all remember this? Daggone it. I'll show y'all too. Don't hold out on you. I'm in chapter 1. Look down at the same, in that same chapter. I know it's not in my notes here, but jump down to verse 6. Just the next verse. I'm going to go down a few verses. It says, there was a man from God whose name was John. Y'all know him. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of what? Of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. They keep calling Jesus the word light, right? Why? Because it removes darkness. That was the true light, which gives light to every man that comes into the world. He, the light, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Not in my notes, I know. Don't panic. Y'all with me? John chapter 3 and verse 16. Watch this. Here's what this light is supposed to do, and why it calls it light in the same chapter when we're talking about the word. It is light. Watch this. For God, John 3:16, y'all know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, right? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved, sozo, set free, delivered, healed, right? He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Watch this. And this is the condemnation. What's the condemnation? That he hasn't believed already. He's already in judgment and condemnation. Watch this, what it says, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Watch this. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Watch what he's saying right here. the world, and Jesus said, the world hated me because they loved their evil deeds. They still wanted to keep living in sin. But watch, do y'all remember this in John chapter 8? John chapter 8, I'll tell you the story. There was a woman who was caught in the bed of adultery. They went and grabbed her up out of the bed, took her to the temple, threw her down on the ground before Jesus, and said, hey, this woman, we caught her right in the bed of adultery, cold busted, and here she is right here. And what does the law of Moses say? We're supposed to stone her, but what do you say? And they're trying to trap Jesus. Remember, Jesus stooped down, wrote on the stone, and he got up and he said, whichever one of y'all is without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone. Then he bent down and started writing down again, and all of them started dropping their stones and rolling, right? All of them who had the stones. And then he stood back up to her and looked at her and said, woman, where are thine accusers? Where are those accusers here? She said, there are none, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. Then he said, go and sin no more. Next verse, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Now watch. I am the light of the world. What is he talking about? Why would he say that? Because she now busted, caught in sin, exposed. Light does two things. It exposes and expels. The light of God's word exposes. Now watch. It looked like she was being put on blast. But because she didn't run from the light, deny, she came to. Now the light expelled the sin. See, watch. And this is what Jesus was saying. He said, the world, John wrote, he says, the light came into the world, but the world didn't want to get away from their darkness. Are you with me? So they're under condemnation. He said, but if you come towards that truth and come towards that light, he'll expel that darkness. Not condemn you, but remove the darkness. And you'll walk in light. Now, this is how you get rid of every sin. Every bondage, are y'all with me? Now, this is why the devil, turn over in your Bible, and this ain't in my notes either. You all right? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, can they put that up there for me? If you can't, no problem. Who's back there? Is that my baby, Brooke? Yep. Say, Brooke, we love you. Y'all want to say it strong enough? Y'all was... Okay. They did it to you on the first service too, B, right? Yep. All right, look at this. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Watch this. If they can't see this, do y'all get this? The gospel is so good. If we really knew it, if sinners really knew the true love of God, they would really come to it. They would come to it. Watch, this Bible, this scripture explains it. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What the Bible is saying is that the devil has to not try to keep you from seeing this true light of the glory of Christ. You get what I'm saying? If it weren't so compelling and so good, he wouldn't have to blind us to it. You get what I'm saying? Example that Joseph Prince used to always use. I'd hear him say this. He said, if a young, sexy, beautiful, half-dressed woman comes walking by when he's with his wife hits him and goes, don't look. If it's a grandma, come on, somebody. She don't have to say that. What? She don't want to cover his eyes. She don't have to cover his eyes. Has to cover his eyes at something that is good to look at, appealing to look at. The devil blinds the mind of the world so they don't see that light. Why? Because they'll want to come to that. When we really see the true light of the glory of God, we'll want to come to it. Are you with me? But he said the men hate when they want to stay in their sin, they don't want to come to that light. Come on, somebody. But if we want to get set free, we've got to come to it. Because it's not we saw it with the woman. It's not. He's not going to condemn you. What he's going to do is expel that darkness. Come on, say, set me free. That's what he's talking about right there. Y'all listening to me in this place? All right, that's sidebar. Come on. Go back over in your Bible. Watch this. Turn over to John chapter 5. Y'all learning? John chapter 5. Now, because all y'all see what I'm saying? If you know the truth will make you free. If we're not free, we ain't getting this whole truth. We haven't applied it right. Are y'all with me? It will make you free, or Jesus is a liar. He's not a liar. He's the truth, and that's what we got to know tonight. Look over in your Bible at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Watch, here's another point. These Jews that said, oh, we know the scriptures. We know the word. And I pulled this verse out because when I heard this, you know, oh yes, I know that. Oh, I know all that. It doesn't matter if you just know the scriptures. The scriptures are to bring you to a relationship with him. If there isn't genuine relationship with him, you don't get set free because you just know the Bible. I've seen people who know the Bible as well as I do live in sin. Live in fornication, live in all kinds of mess, all kinds of junk, and make excuses about it. This word, when you really know it in your heart, will bring you to relationship. Watch this. Here it is right here. John chapter 5 and verse. Somebody scream shout and shout hallelujah just for a second. Because don't y'all want free, man? Don't y'all want free? Come on, we want it. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 38. Read through 40. But watch this. Watch Jesus fussing with him. He said, we know the word. We know the scriptures. This is what the Jews were saying to him. He says, but you do not have his word. There's that word again. Abiding in you. He said, you don't have that word abiding in you, though, because they did. They knew the scriptures. He said, we know the scriptures. We know that. He said, but you don't have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. The word is to take you to him.
That's right.
Watch this. Look at the next one. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify me. The scriptures just push you to me. Look at this next one. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have Zoe. He said, you ain't really getting in the scriptures because the scriptures, if you really knew them, all they do is push you to me and I'd set you free. I'd give you life. I'd get rid of that darkness in you. Come on, are y'all with me? It's religion versus relationship. Because I can't do that fast dancing like they do it. Y'all seen them do that? Y'all know how to do it. I bet you Patty and them know how to do that real fast. You know how to move your feet that fast? Dana probably does. I know Bobby doesn't. Bobby's like me. No, Bobby dances a million times better than me, though. He can cut it up. Just like that church dance, though. Do you know how to do that one way to do it? No. All right, did y'all see that right there? Y'all see that? Look at this one. Turn to John chapter 18. What I want y'all to see that it's more than just knowing the word, more than just memorizing a bunch of scriptures and then getting mad at God because it didn't work. That's not what it is. This is a real relationship. It's like the difference in reading a biography of Shanae versus getting the biography that connects me to her, to know her, having a real relationship. If it's not real relationship like a marriage, where you need him, where you wake up and go, good morning, Lord. Thank you today, Lord. I need your life. I need your protection. Have y'all ever just been driving? Like I was driving yesterday. And somebody, it's happened to me a few times, and somebody just isn't paying attention. They're looking at their phone or doing something, but they're driving this way. And I'm like, dang, I see them over the line. They ain't looking, and they're coming right at me. I'm blowing my, and at the last minute, they wake up, and I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, do y'all realize? You made you be able to drive good. It's just, it's the rest of them out there. Come on, somebody. It's Shanae and them. I'm just playing. No, she drives good. She drives awesome. She's awesome. Come on, I got jokes, y'all. Come on, lighten up. Okay, turn in your Bible. I'll stay out of trouble. Let's read the Bible. Turn to John chapter 18. Y'all all right? Okay, y'all remember this? Here's another case. Here's another case that I want y'all to see that truth. you shall know the truth. Knowing the truth is the connection to the word, but the word is what brings us to him. It's our connection to him. Jesus, you said this. Jesus, your word says this. It's this relationship with him, all right? And we're going to get to that in a second. Watch this. Jesus arrested, right, standing before Pontius Pilate. And here's some of the conversation. Here it is, right here in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. I came into this world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Remember, the truth is written and the truth is living. Him? Look at this next one. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." The truth is, the truth was standing before him and he didn't recognize it. What is truth? Jesus is, "I am the truth." You get it? But he didn't get the connection. He wouldn't get that. And many of us don't get that connection. There has to be a relationship and a God behind the promises on this book, or this book would just become an empty religion to us. And even if you consider yourself a word of faith person, a word of grace person, that's not, it's real relationship with him. Amen. Did y'all see that? Amen. Let's go. Now, I wanted to cover a couple of these things real quickly. Turn over in your Bible. Remember this. God's word is true, and he cannot lie. I got to establish this first before I give you this next passage. We said this last week, but just I need you to build on this right here. God's word is true, and there's scripture after scripture after scripture in the Psalms and the Proverbs about this. But here's just a few other ones. Look at Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is true and cannot lie. Here's this one. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? In other words, whatever God says is truth. Let's go on. Look at the next one. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Mark these in your Bible so you know them. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. This is a powerful verse right here. What he's saying right here is God is going to do exactly what he said. It's not him. I've seen so many believers get mad at God. That's misdirected. That is misguided. That's error. That's huge error, and the devil loves that. God is not the problem. What we've got to realize is if we're not seeing the fruit of his word, is somehow we haven't heard it right, we haven't applied it right. It's not on God's end, it's on our part. And what we've got to do then is dig deeper, dig in, get locked in, and talk to him about it. This relationship, are y'all with me? Whatever his promise is, if there's something you're lacking, you just got to know what he's promised and get with him about it and seek him and seek after it and seek. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Isn't that right? For everyone that asks. How can he make those kind of statements? Because it's true. But when we say, "Well, it didn't work," we can't. We've got to realize it's not God. It's us that has missed it somehow. Can y'all be honest enough to say that? It's us if things aren't shaping up right. It's not God. It's us. And that's no shade and that's no condemnation. What that means is we just got to get in this truth, get locked in, and understand how it really works. And that's what we're going to do. Watch it. Turn over in your Bible to the next one. That's enough. Go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, right, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, right? Look at this other one, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. We looked at these last week. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So in other words, again and again, all throughout the scriptures, all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, God's word is true, God's word is pure. You'll find that all throughout the Psalms. Amen? God's word is eternal and it never changes. We looked at a few passages last week, but here's one before we go into this new thing I want to show you real quickly. All right, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Amen. Mark that in your Bible. Heaven and earth can pass away. We know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't really know what that all that means clearly. Come on, somebody. We do know that the new heaven and new earth will be made in righteousness. The new earth will be made in righteousness where the lion will lay with the lamb. We can read that in Revelation. There's going to be peace when the children. The Bible says, do y'all know the reason for all earthquakes? When they blame it on and tornadoes and all that? It's in Romans chapter 1. Y'all didn't know that? Romans chapter 1, it talks about how the earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men, sons of God, to be manifested. When Adam sinned, the earth was under a curse. Remember that? In Genesis chapter 4, and it talks about that the earth was cursed, and it cursed the blood of what was his name? Caleb? Cain. Of Cain. Abel. The blood of Abel cries out. Who killed who? Which one? Cain killed Abel. Yeah, the blood of Abel cries out. And it talks about how the earth was cursed. The earth is under a curse right now. All the tornadoes, all the junk, all the viruses, all the stuff you see is because the earth is under a curse. When the new earth, when the Bible talks about the new heaven and the new earth, that new earth is, it reigns in righteousness when Jesus returns. Amen? That's what it's a whole new thing, and I don't understand the details of it, but anyway, that's what it's talking about. But he said, hey, even in that new heaven and new earth, my word's still going to be the same. It's never going to pass away. Do y'all get how eternal that is? Here, come on. Now, jump on over in your Bible. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Come on, somebody. I'm excited about this. Y'all excited? Okay. Make some noise so I can see y'all excited. Y'all ain't asleep, are you? Y'all right in the back? Y'all right in the back, back there? Make some noise in the back. Okay, good. Oh, yeah, the back making some noise. Back, make some more noise. Let me see. Okay, yes, yeah. Gareth made more noise than everybody in the building all put together, didn't he? That's what I love about G-Dub. How can you stand it, though, Lisa? I mean, is he loud at home? Yes, honey! Praise the Lord. All right, watch this. Peter, let me set you up here. If you read all of this, first chapter of 2 Peter, Peter, he says in the verses right before this that God let him know how he was going to die. Let him know how he was going to die, when he was going to die. And so he's writing his last words here. And so he's kind of signing out, and he's reminiscing on his life and the experiences that he had. Then he begins to write about an event that occurred that he was there with Peter, James, and John. He talks about it. Here it is. Watch what he writes here. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we actually saw him, right? For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You remember this? Matthew chapter 17, I think. And Peter, James, and John are there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus transforms right before their eyes. And then Moses appears and Elisha appears, right? And good old Peter stands up and says, hey, this is awesome. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to build three temples. One for you, Moses. One for you, Elijah. Can you imagine that? And one for you, Jesus. And then the Bible says that the heavens opened and the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And essentially what God was doing was saying, Peter, shut up. He's showing a transition. He's showing that Peter, James, and John. Y'all know what those three names mean. Peter means the stones, right? Peter, James means will be replaced. John, Honan, means grace. The stones will be replaced by grace. So you've got, Moses, who represents the law, Elijah, who represents the prophets, and it's a turning of a page. The stones will be replaced by grace. So Jesus shows up, and so Peter's ready to build a temple for all three, but Jesus says, no, it's not about them. It's about him now. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. He left out that part there because he was getting buked. Come on, somebody. But we know what happened. But he's telling about that incident because can you imagine? This thing just comes to life before him now. They all have questions in their mind about Jesus, about his birth. They have questions in their mind. But then Jesus transfigures right before him. They are convinced. Come on, somebody. Just shows up right there. Watch this, what he says about it, though. He says, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard, and we were with him in the holy mountain, Mount Transfiguration. We have also, now watch what he says here. He says, we were there, we heard this, and we saw this. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, he says, but we have something more sure than what we saw and heard. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, he said, and you need to pay close attention. Do y'all hear him fussing right here? He's about to die. He's saying, you need to understand what I've seen and what I've heard, but you need to understand this, that I have something more sure, and it's this word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Let me read it all, and then we'll get back to that. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Next. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is he saying? Peter's saying, listen, what's more sure than whatever you can see or hear, even if you hear an audible voice or see God, what's more sure is that scripture. It's more sure than anything you can see and hear. And why is that vitally important? Because he's trying to get, it's the same thing that Jesus said to Thomas. Remember when Thomas said, I don't believe unless I touch you. And Jesus said, more blessed are those that believe and haven't seen anything. That's the faith that's necessary. You believe these scriptures. And what Peter is saying here, even though we saw and heard and we watched him transfigure right before us, what's more sure is if, and you better take heed to it, base your life on this word. Get a hold of this word so that that light shines in your heart. Did you see it? He said it right there in that last passage. Come on, somebody. Are y'all paying attention to your pastor tonight? Are y'all learning in this place? Now turn over to Psalms chapter 89. I'm going to read it in the Good News Translation. We're almost done. Ooh, yes. Good News Translation. Y'all there? And they'll put it up on the screen here because y'all probably don't have that unless you got your phone with you. Psalms 89. This is that passage where I wanted to show it to you in this translation because it explains that every time God speaks, he's making a covenant with you. His word is covenant. Watch what he says. Here it is, Psalms 89, verse 34 through 37. He says, I will not break my covenant with him or take back even one promise I made him. Once and for all, I have promised by my holy name. When God speaks, what he's saying, I'm promising by my holy name. I'm making a covenant. When I say, by my stripes you're healed, I'm making a covenant with you. I'm swearing to you by my name. And look who he says, I will never lie to David. You can put your name in there. But he's showing us an example here. Go to the next verse, please. He says, he will always have the, here's the promise that he made David. You're going to always have descendants seated on the throne of God. Watch what he says. And I will watch over his kingdom as long as the sun shines. Mm-hmm. It will be as permanent as, say permanent. Permanent as the moon, that faithful witness in the sky. He says, when I make a covenant, it's as permanent as the sun and the moon. I put them in place by my word, and they're permanently going to stay there. I know many of y'all are voting for this new Green Deal. This $1 trillion Green Deal because they told you that that your fumes on your SUV are going to destroy the planet in the next 10 years. And so we want to pass a $1 trillion budget. Y'all ain't ready for me yet, but that's a lie. It doesn't matter what science says, and that's what Peter's trying to get us to see. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter if the government, if the law says, hey, if there's a change in government and the government says, okay, we homosexuality and we're, every church now must marry homosexuals. It is legal. It is the law. One president already did that. But then they say, well, you guys are going to have to do that. We're still not going to do it. And you can point your fingers and fuss at us, but do you understand what I'm saying? God says, my word is true and it's permanent. Amen. Well, that's outdated. No, it's permanent. It's a covenant when he says it. It doesn't change because the culture changes. And this is what you and I have to embrace. That's not hate on anybody. Come on, somebody. But his word will separate you. Come on, are y'all listening to me? Because the time is coming. Oh, look over and look. Let me show y'all in Timothy real quickly. Look over in Timothy. Which one is it? It's Timothy. Hang on here. I read it in the staff meeting. What chapter was that? I think it's chapter 3 or 4, 1 Timothy, faithful saying, bishop. Let's see, likewise. Hang on, maybe it's Peter. It might be Peter. Hang on. Do y'all remember? It was Timothy? 2 Timothy, maybe? It was 2 Timothy, I think. It's right after Hebrews. Hang on. Anybody remember that was in the staff meeting with me? Yes, that's it. Who's saying that back there? Thank y'all. Siva be paying attention more than I do in the staff meeting. Thank you, baby. Look at this. Look what Timothy writes here. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Go to the next one. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. He said, you're going to suffer when you teach this. Hit the next one. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from and be turned aside to fables. Put that verse in Amplified, if you can, back there. Make some noise for them. Y'all are so good back there. Maybe verse 3 and 4, if you don't mind, if y'all can back there. Put your hands together, clap for him, because, man, oh, man. Watch this. Why did he say, you have to preach the word? I have to preach it, y'all. Here's why. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another. That means they jump from church to church so they hear what they want to hear. To a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. Well, this is what I believe, and if you don't, you're wrong, preacher. And I'm just going to go somewhere else till I find out where I can do what I want to do. Do you remember the first verse, though? He said he's coming to judge the living and the dead when he comes with his kingdom. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? And so we have to be able to know what the truth is. And it's not, we don't go Bible beating people or chasing people down. But in the church, we've got to say what's true. And when you bring discipleship and discipline, there's always going to be a rising of rebellion. Always. Please don't let it be you. Hit the person next to you and say, don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Go to the light. Run to the light. Come on, somebody. Y'all seeing that? And we'll turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Come on, somebody. All right, where was I? I was trying to close here. Y'all keep messing me up. Jump on over back into your Bible. Did I read all of Psalms 89, 34, 35, 36, 37? Jump back over there. Make some more noise for Brooke and Siva back there. Thank y'all. Oh, yeah. Here he is, verse 37. He's saying, my word will be as permanent as the moon, that faithful witness in the sky. Permanent. Your SUV is not going to destroy the planet in the next 10 years. Okay, y'all didn't like that. That dude didn't do so good last night anyway, so don't worry. He might not make it. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 33. That make me nervous. Make me nervous with all that. No, they make me nervous in the government talking about, okay, we're going to legalize everything, legalize dope, do all this, and we're going to bring in this Green New Deal that costs more than our whole deficit and more than everything, and the government's going to pay for it. But we're going to tax everybody. We keep forgetting that part. Come on, man. All right, Jeremiah 33, I'm sorry. Let me stay back here and stay in Jeremiah, then I'll be safe. Get you all nervous. Come on, somebody. Our life should align with this book. Many of us are more committed to our political views than biblical views. Y'all hear me saying that? I'm going to walk softly right here. Okay. All right. When the bishop pastor's saying it, watch out now, pastor. Watch out. Let me turn around and read the Bible. But I'm just telling you. Let the Bible determine the truth and not man. Let the Bible be your truth that you live by. That permeates every aspect of your life. Y'all follow what I'm saying right there? That keeps me out of trouble, doesn't it, Joe? That if we live by the word, but we have to know what the word says. If we don't know what it says, then we'll buy the lie that the government will tell us. And they will tell you a lie. Please know it. And so will the media. And so will the news. Please believe that. Many of us are more taught by CNN than this BIBLE. Headline news. And I'm telling you, they're going to tell you a lie. Okay, I'm getting too passionate there. Let's turn around. Jeremiah chapter 33, so I can close. Here we go. The Lord said to Jeremiah, he said to him, watch this. I have made a covenant with the day and with the night. In Genesis chapter 1, he did that, right? Remember, he says, whenever I speak my word, I'm making a covenant. So when God said, let there be light, when God said, put the universe in place in Genesis chapter 1, he made a covenant with it. He can't break it. Are y'all with me? Watch, he's trying to build a case here and show us that he can't break his word with us. I've made a covenant with the day and with the night so that they always come at their proper times, and that covenant can never be broken. In the same way, I have made a covenant with my servant David that he would always have a descendant to be king, and I've made a covenant with the priests and the tribe. I want you to see right here. He's made a covenant. Who is that seated on the throne of David? Yes, the son of David, Jesus, is forever seated on the throne. He's saying, in the same way that I spoke my word and spoke the universe into being, is the same way every word I said, it is going to come to pass. What is he trying to do? He's trying to get us to know whenever he says, we can rely on it. Turn it here. We're closing right here. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Right here he said, the day and the night are going to keep happening. The sun's going to keep doing what it's supposed to do, and the moon's going to keep doing what it's supposed to do. Don't get all confused by reading Revelation that the moon and the stars fall out of the sky. That's all symbolism. All right? Come on, somebody. It's all symbolic. The whole book of Revelation is symbols. All right? But watch this. We're reading this, and then I'm going to close. This is just to show you how God is committed to his word. The earth is not going to fail. Just like his word is not going to fail. Watch this. I'm going to read 1 through 19, I think. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Uh-huh. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He always does this, right? God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, a division, right? And let it divide the waters from the waters. Remember what I said, God's word always separates. It separates sickness out of you. It separates. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that the word divides, it cuts, even soul and spirit, the bone from the marrow. It divides. Come on, somebody. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day, all right? Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Here he is again doing the separation. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together of the waters. He called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 10. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, so the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day, right? Third day, all right. 3 days have gone by so far. I've been often asked, and somebody said this to me before, hey, it was creation in real day times, days, or was it thousands of years between each of those days? Who thinks it was one day at a time, just like we have now, 24 hours? Yeah, I do too, because it said, and the day, and the, yeah, it was the morning and the evening. It don't take 1,000 years to make a morning and an evening. Come on, somebody, hey? You get it? No, it's just simple, but some people try to make it more than what it is. It's real simple. God said, I did that in a day, 24-hour period. But watch this. Here we are. We went through 3 days. Here we are on the fourth day now, right? Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament and of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, one greater light to rule the day, that's the S-U-N, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the M-O-O-N, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and so the evening and the morning were the... So on the fourth day, God made the sun and the moon. So in day one, where he said, light be, day two, there was light. Day three, there was light. He created the plants and all that stuff on day three. What was bringing light? The S-O-N, Jesus. Now watch. So how was there light those first 3 days? It was the light of the S-O-N and not the S-U-N. How? The only explanation is, God said it. And Jesus said in Psalms, I was there when he did all this. He was the light of the world. He did all that. My point in all this is, even if you can't explain and science can't explain, whatever God says, that's what it is. And we must make that our final authority. Are y'all with me? Parents have authority, but God's authority is higher than that. When parents' authority goes contrary to what the word of God says, we must go with what God says. The government has authority, and we should abide it. We should abide by the laws that are in sync with God's authority, because God's authority supersedes the authority of government. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Husbands, wives submit to their husbands unless they violate God's authority. God's authority. Now watch. My whole point in all this is, even if the doctor says, this isn't going to work, you got 6 months to live, if we, but God said, you shall live and not die, we've got to have confidence, even if science doesn't agree with it, like science didn't agree with this. You're not going to read in the classroom books that says the sun didn't come until the fourth day, because they're going to tell you about evolution. Did y'all have that thing in your classroom that had the monkeys and the evolution of man, that theory? But Genesis said that's not how it happened. Come on, somebody. So they aren't going to agree with, come on, somebody. That's theory. We as believers have got to make God's word the final authority. And if we never connect his word to him as a God that is behind this, that is making a covenant with it, I've made a covenant with the sun and the moon, they're not going to change till I say so. God has made a covenant to you for healing, a covenant with you with his promises concerning abundance, concerning peace, concerning health, that he will not violate. Come on, somebody. And it doesn't matter if science doesn't agree with it, if the government doesn't agree with it. We've got to get real relationship with him in this word so we agree with what he says and live that life. Give God a shout of praise in this place. Get your seed, get your offering. While you're doing that, get your seed. Come on, will y'all make some noise for Jesus? Did y'all learn tonight? How many of y'all learned tonight? Amen. How many of you have more confidence in God's word? All right, while you're getting your offering out, turn in your Bible to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Let me show you how to. Now again, this Psalm 91 is a psalm, and it's a truth, and you can memorize it, but it's going to read different when you understand who said it and why he sang it. Watch what it says. Can y'all put it up there for me back there, baby? Thank y'all. Make some noise back there. Me? Amen. Watch this. While y'all getting your offering, here, let's y'all know the faith confession by heart, right? Anybody need an offering envelope? Even an offering envelope? Yeah, if you do, raise your hand, the ushers. See all these people? Yes, yes. Help them out there, y'all. Make some noise for the ushers. We need y'all's help. Help out the ushers. Praise the Lord. Run over there. See her hand up. All those people with their, you're running past about three or four people right there. Right here, Jack. Don't let these people put their hand down. Y'all need offering envelopes? Come on. Yeah. Right back there. Yes, yes. If y'all have not connected, hang on. I'm gonna get to that in a second. I'm gonna get to that. I just want to make sure that y'all understand this, because you're gonna hear more and more of this coronavirus. It's gonna get worse before it gets better. Whole lot worse. Y'all hear what they're doing? Talking about the NCAA. They're talking about all this stuff and travel and all this. We have, as kingdom citizens, we have a way to make sure we're not touched by this. Let's read what it says. Look, are y'all in Psalm 91? Verse 1. Watch what it says. He who dwells, read it with me. Ready? Read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Stop right there. Each one of these will preach. But he who dwells, lives, that word is actually yeshab, sits in the secret place of the Most High. He's talking about this relationship that you and I have with God. Shall abide. There's that word again. Abide under the shadow. Again, this is talking about you live. Come here, Pastor Bob, if you don't mind, sir. Real quickly, you all remember the Ark of the Covenant, and it was two cherubim, and they had their wings like this, and then the mercy seat's right here. The Bible is talking about you live here on this mercy seat, under the shadow of the Almighty. You live there. This is where you live. You live under the protection of the cherubim. And I preached on this on Psalms 91, but that's what he's talking about. You live there. Make some noise for Pastor Bob. Shall dwell under the... And God said in the Old Testament, he says, that's where I'll meet with man. That's where the blood of the lamb goes, on that mercy seat, by the way. But watch this next. Watch this. Remember what I told you? If this word doesn't come off these pages and get in your heart mixed with faith and come out of your mouth in faith, it does you no good. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. So you're saying not just what the Bible says. You're saying of the Lord, he's my refuge. You get what I'm saying? He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. It's not just in his word. I'm trusting in him, the God of this word. I live in this place, right? I will say, go to the next one. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the, if you read that in other translations, it says from the deadly diseases, sicknesses and diseases, and from the perilous pestilence. Next, please. He shall cover you with his feathers, that's those cherubim, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth, which is his word, shall be your shield and your buckler. Come on, somebody. Y'all seeing this? Now, this reads whole differently when you know who he is that's behind this covenant that he's taking right here. You get it? I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, that disease that's in that walks in darkness. We're not in darkness. We're in light. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Do y'all see what he's saying? Look at this. Now watch. Here's what we know. 1,000 can fall at your side. 10,000 of them at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Coronavirus shall not come near you. Even though 1,000 may fall over there. 10,000 over on this hand. He said, only with your eyes you'll look and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because we walk in light and not in darkness. Why? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Because you live in him. You live in this word. You abide in it. It becomes a shield for you. No evil shall befall you. Say it out of your mouth. Read it with me. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Come on, somebody. That's that disease again. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Come on. To keep you in all your ways. Next. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the scorpion. Young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon. Look, this is what God grabs a mic here and says, because you've set your love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. You get what he's saying right there? Let's read it. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. Come on. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Anybody glad about that? Look at this last one, the best one. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my Yahweh, salvation. Give God a shout of praise. Now, that reads differently when you know who's behind that covenant. Somebody make some noise for Jesus. Jesus.